Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Today's show is pre-recorded.
Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. Y'all listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey. Man, got a radio show. Real glad about it, too. You know, I hope that God always keeps me in the frame of mind to try to be sharing and try to be motivational and uplifting, even when it's not felt or wanted by some people. I have people around me who seem to not benefit at all for anything, and I can sit with them and talk to them or take meetings with them to try to encourage them, and for whatever reason, you know, they want to just keep going the way they're going. When you run into people like that, you have to pray for them. You have to just hope that one day that they release the chains on their mind and open up your mind to a new way of thinking. A couple of things I wanted to go over with you. I want you all today, in terms of motivation. I want you to be aware of statements or old sayings that have been created that you hear over the course of time, and you may be applying them to your life, and I want you to be careful of some of them. Because some of these old sayings, man, are not designed for people who are dreamers, are not designed for people who have any aspirations of being extraordinary. These are not designs or sayings that people who want to be extremely successful at anything or have high aspirations to put these sayings into your life. Let me give you an example. Statistics say, that's it. That's the one I want you to be careful about. Statistics say, be very careful of stats. When a person says, you know, statistics say one out of every what? See, listen to me. These are things that sound like they're good, sound, solid advice, but they're setting you up for failure. And you can't adhere yourself to a lot of these sayings that's been passed down from generations. And it's not scripture. It ain't in the scripture nowhere that statistics say. It's just some people. And a lot of people who have lost have come up with these sayings to justify why they keep losing or why they lost. When I was first got started in the business, there were more stand-ups around now than it is today, because the comedy boom in 84, 85 was, it was gaining a lot of momentum. It was comedy clubs, comedy nights everywhere. The statistic that a guy told me, I told him I wanted to be on the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show. The guy said one out of every 2,000 comedians ever make it to the Tonight Show. Okay. Now, when he told us that, some of the comedians in the room went, well, wow, man, that's rough. Because a guy had also said that there was approximately 6,000 comedians in the country at that time. I don't know if it was true. I'm just telling you, guy was out there spewing numbers. I have no idea how many it was. But he said one in every 2,000 will make it to the Tonight Show. And he let the air out of everybody in the room but me. So every night before I went on stage, I used to do this right here. Ba-da-ba-ba-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da, ba-da-ba-ba-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. That was the Tonight theme song. Now, I was young, opening act, nowhere near Hollywood. I was in Cleveland telling jokes at one-nighters, but that was my thing. Because I was bent and determined that if it's one in 2,000, okay, why don't I just be the one? Be careful when people say statistics say, because they are set up for failure if you're going to adhere to them. See, that one in so many, it one in so many people win the lottery. But if you don't play the lottery, you ain't going to be the one to hit. Now, when the dude hit, you go, wow, he was lucky. But he played. Here's another one. Maybe it's not meant to be. All right, let's go one step further. I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. Don't you dare blame God for something you may have not done yourself. Because you didn't get the proper education. Because you didn't do the things you were supposed to do. Because you didn't stay to the task. Because you quit, turned around, and went the other way. Now, maybe it's not, it wasn't the Lord's will. These are all statements that sound like sound advice, but they ain't all the time got nothing to do with you. Stop letting these old bogey sayings get in your way of what can happen in your life. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Why? Who came up with this? Who came up with this? If you don't pour all your efforts into one thing, how are you going to be great at that one thing? If Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird had not played basketball sun up to sundown, Magic Johnson didn't go to Michigan to get an education. Larry Bird ain't go to Indiana to get an education. These cats was balling. Michael Jordan didn't go to North Carolina to get an education. They went to play ball. They went to do one thing. Tiger Woods didn't go to Stanford to get an education. He went to play golf. Soon as he got good enough, he gone. These is guys that put all their eggs in one basket. See, what's cool with putting all your eggs in one basket is you now can maximize your effort and laser beam what you're doing. Your problem is all you got to do is make sure what is your basket made out of. If your basket is made out of faith, hope, hard work, and belief, then guess what? That's a good basket. I'm dumping all mine in it. Because ever since I was a young dude, I've been telling jokes. One thing only. Even when it got ugly and I was living in a car, I never quit telling them jokes, man. I just kept believing that them jokes was going to pay me one day. And I'd be doggone if it didn't. I ain't take no time off, go work at the Walmart, get me a job, go back to Ford and beg for my job back. Hey, man, put all your eggs in a basket. Just make sure that your basket is made up of faith, hope, belief, hard work. Your basket woven by God, what you tripping for? You defeating yourself. Where is your faith? Where is your belief? Where is your trust? At one point in time, you got to believe that God can do what he say he gonna do. Because he done it for others, he'll most certainly do it for you. Be careful of these sayings that's out here that's aligned by losers and people to justify why they are not succeeding. Don't apply this stuff to your life and it ain't got nothing to do with you. You gonna mess yourself up. All right? Okay.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You know, it's so important to have representation in media. I remember growing up in Chicago, I was heavily influenced by the beautiful voices on the radio. Well, the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. And NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anybody else that's listening, this show right here, I don't know what to tell you. It's just really, really good. Now, there are others. Now, I got no complaint. But if I had to pick one to listen to, I'd do what you're doing this morning. Thank you. You made the right choice. Ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. Oh, you had a choice, but you picked us. So since you picked us, here we go. One, two, one, two, three, four. You picked us. We must be the one, cause you picked us. Ready to have some fun. You picked us. Why, oh why, you picked us. Cause we must be the one, cause you picked us. Ladies and gentlemen, you picked us. That was the song of choice this morning. Why? I have no idea. Shirley Strawberry, Colin Farrell, Mississippi Monica, Junior, government name, Kill LaJuan Space, owner of KLS Enterprises, and the legend that is Nephew Tommy. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Junior, what's on your mind this morning?
Can I talk to you about something, Monk? I just need a little bit of motivation, some understanding real fast. You know, we're coming to the close of the end of the year. You know, what is it? We're getting over to 2024. And I'm trying to figure out, like, when do we start putting the plan together for 2024? Do we start in 2024? Do we start now? Or how do we start setting these goals together for 2024?
As soon as I think of something that needs to be accomplished or something I want to have on my wish list, I start the process immediately. I don't wait for resolutions or New Year's, and I start now. I've learned that delaying does exactly that. Delays. Why would you delay something that you want to happen? You start, and once you start practicing the practice of procrastination, it takes root really fast. And next thing you know, you're looking for special days to do this, special moments to do that. And then you'll find out in life that there is no correct time to start except now. And it ain't no need of waiting on your ducks to line up, because they ass will not line up. Them damn ducks walks off in all kind of directions. These are not the ducks down at the Peabody in Memphis, I'm telling you. They don't get in that line. They don't come off that elevator and walk straight and get in that damn water. These damn ducks in life, they fly off. They go the other way. They go over there and get in somebody, get in white people cars. You be going, hey, you my duck. What's your ass doing? Get out them white people's car. So if you're waiting on your ducks to line up, man, stop doing that. Go now. I don't wait for resolutions. I've started everything that I want to, that I'm hoping for in 2024. I've already started fertilizing the seeds.
What a great answer. You know,
that's how I do it, Junior. I don't wait on resolutions. It's fun to do them because it sounds good. But if you're going to lose weight, see right now, like the big one in 2024 going to be to lose weight. But you finna pack on 15 up until then. You see how ignorant that is? You finna pack 15 on this month.
All right. We'll come right back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so Steve, let's talk about some of your favorite Christmas memories, and your favorite holiday tradition. I want to ask you.
Oh, mine was great, like Poe memories. But like, they was good, though, you know, because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, no different.
Yeah.
Right, I figured this the way it was.
Right, at everyone's house. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Everybody get a gift.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But as you sitting around finna open multiple packages. Just damn gift, man.
But the tearing off of the wrapping paper, man. That's
so exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to use that paper next year.
We had an auntie
Save that bow.
I know. And my mom wrapped like the grocery store wrap. That was her thing. She loved
it.
She could wrap. It looked just like it did at the department stores. My mom could wrap.
Yeah, man.
Girl, I got an easy bake oven one year.
Oh, yes. Woo! Lord, with the light.
If I'd have wrapped it, you'd have knew it. Because everything I wrapped was to the exact shape or whatever.
That's what it was.
You didn't put it in a box with some tissue paper.
Dog, if you thought it was a truck, that's probably what it was.
That's what it was. It was obvious.
Remember going over there under the tree and just feeling on the gifts, trying to guess what it was?
Shake them.
Man,
if I wrapped it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You knew.
Wow.
Ooh, bottle of wine.
I got it.
Bowling ball.
You know exactly what it is.
Look like he gave L a baseball
game. I remember when I got a tape recorder one year. Oh, my God.
That was always a good one.
That was the beginning of my career right there. Right. Tape recorder, yes.
Oh, I got a stereo.
Rewind, fast forward. Yes. Good. Yes. Good stuff.
One of my most frightening Christmases was because of that tape recorder right there.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
You take the one where you press play and record.
Play and record. Yes, that's right.
Two fingers to get it done.
Yes.
Yes.
My mama got me mine for Christmas. Uh-huh. I took it upstairs and recorded Rudy Ray Moore signifying monkey.
God, dog.
No, Steve, no.
Way down in the jungle deep. That signifying monkey damn sure did.
Got it.
Walked through the trees and all up in here. That monkey.
Boy. How old were you, Steve?
I was in
elementary school.
He was cussing.
Elementary.
He was cussing.
Sixth or seventh.
What did you know about Rudy Ray Moore?
Well, my daddy and them used to play it.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
I used to sit on the steps in the hallway and listen to it. Be in the hallway hollering.
Everybody had the albums, man.
But I memorized the whole Signifying Monkey. And I could sound just like him. So when my mama got it, I went upstairs and I'm recording. Uh-huh. Way down in the jungle deep.
Man.
Signifying Monkey.
You were looking at the mirror and everything.
Cussing and everything. I'm talking about cuss just like
that's me. When you first love. You fell in love right there.
So everything going good. We go to church that morning. We come back. Couple of Sister Porter and Sister Arbell came over to see my mama.
Sister Arbell.
Wow.
And they was in there in the living room, and I had my recorder on the coffee table because I saw a cookie on the dining room table. I went to get a Rice Krispie
treat.
And when I came back, my mama had the recorder in her lap. My stomach. She said, what did they was all talking about? Sister Harvey, what is that? That's these new recorders that you buy. We bought one for Steve. I'm just looking at her, man. I said, man.
I'm the ass whooping.
Man.
Don't hit that button.
So then this lady, Sister Lord. Porter, say, what's on it?
Oh, Sister Porter.
Right here. My mama press play. I open it up like this. Way down in the jungle deep. That Signifying Monkey. That didn't ever sleep.
Yeah.
I'm cussing and everything.
Oh, in front of the Sister Porter, Sister Arbell.
No, I mean, it's on the recorder. So my mama trying to find the button to cut it off.
Oh, no.
But she can't cut it off. Oh, she can't control the volume or nothing. She's steady hitting the play button. Well, that's already down.
Oh, my goodness.
And your baby talking. So the lady at the church say, ooh, that's Rudy Ray Moore.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she know.
So I said, okay, that might help a little bit. They say, she say, but who is it, though?
Oh, who's saying it?
Yeah. Everybody looking at me. I'm just trying to figure out how I can make this recorder disappear.
And make them forget what they heard.
If I blink hard enough, if I stay here and look out the window, maybe they won't notice it's me. Man, I was sitting there in trouble. My mama finally cut that thing off. She said, boy, Lord Jesus, when your daddy get home.
Oh, no, man.
So they left. My daddy came home. She said, Slick, listen to what this boy done put on his machine on Christmas. And she pressed play again. Way down in the jungle deep. My daddy say, who is that? My mama say, that's your son. He said, boy. And then my daddy listening to it and he starts smiling. Boy, that's you? Yes, sir. I'm just shrinking. I'll tell you the rest of it when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, before we went to break, Steve, you were telling us a story about when your dad heard you recite Rudy Ray Moore on your brand new Christmas tape recorder.
My mama waited till he come home on Christmas. Look at what your boy's doing.
Yeah.
So she pressed on. Way down in the jungle deep. That blankety blank didn't ever sleep. Walking through trees and swinging in the sand. That black.
You can't say none of it.
So my daddy listened to it.
And he smiled.
He said, boy, that's you? Yes, sir.
He thought you were in trouble.
He said, where your coat at? Go get your coat. Come on.
You gotta go outside and get a woman.
The cold ass woman.
Put some miles on the car for this.
I ain't never done that. I used to go in the basement. What is the car?
Right.
He puts me in the car. He get the machine. We back out. We drive right up to Earl's gas station, about 5 minutes from the house.
Uh-huh.
He got walk in Earl there. Merry Christmas, Slick. What's up, little boy? Merry Christmas. He's, boy, I got something for y'all. Listen to this baby right here. Tell me who this is. So all the men in there was, boy, that Rudy Ray Moore. No, it ain't that Steve.
A proud moment.
That's classic.
They said, you lying. Boy, that boy right here. This boy sounds just like Rudy Ray Moore. So Mr. Wells say, well, do some of it.
Oh, man. You can't. You thinking about cussing in front of y'all live?
Man, I got to cuss in front of y'all live.
Did you do it?
Hell yeah. They like that right there.
Yeah.
Boy, that boy looks just like your girl.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it. I love it.
My daddy thought it was the greatest thing he heard. Now, he said, when we get back home, tell your mama we rode and talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, you did.
And I ain't going to whoop you because it's on Christmas.
Aww.
Oh, so if it had been a 26, you'd have got toe up in there.
Well, he didn't want to whoop me no way because he
that was his favorite.
He thought it was greatness.
He thought that was the greatest thing he
yeah,
had.
Yeah, pure greatness.
You take all that cussing off of that machine. You ain't even where you learned these words from.
Right.
Y'all got the album.
You're playing at all the parties.
This album.
Them albums was
good.
Uh-huh.
You don't think
yeah,
I've been looking at this album?
Yeah. Wow.
Who else you listen to, dog?
Good Christmas memories right there.
Red Fox.
Red Fox? That's
no, this country comedian named Jerry Clower.
Jerry Clower.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what we listen to. Uh-huh. It's Hillbilly.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, yeah, that Hillbilly was funny as hell, man.
Funny, man.
See, I was stealing Richard Pryor from my daddy.
Oh, uh-huh.
I was doing Richard and Eddie.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing Eddie.
That's like yeah. Delirious was my stand-up special there. Eddie did Delirious.
Really?
Woo!
Richard Pryor Wanted. That's the one.
Richard Pryor Live.
Live on Sunset Strip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
That's wow. Nice. That was back in the day when your parents had parties. And weren't those called party albums or something, Steve?
They would play them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Party albums. So they would play them,
you couldn't listen. You had to come in there and dance for them, then you had to go to the back.
Yeah.
Come on
see,
in there and
the record
dance
player was right next to the steps leading up to my room, and it was behind the wall.
Oh.
So I sat on the steps.
And listen.
You could hear.
I learned how to cuss everything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The good old days.
Gus.
Gus.
Gus. Goody Google.
That's Eddie Murphy classic right there, boy. That red leather outfit, that was classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
What was that red leather? Raw?
That was, that was Delirious.
Delirious was the red. Raw was the
Raw
purple.
Was a purple.
Was purple.
Yeah, blue.
Raw was purple.
Uh-huh. Leather. All leather.
Raw was raw.
Yeah.
Raw was raw.
Nah, man, when that food was doing that, that food was doing that doggone dog. Buckwheat.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday Night Live when he got shot.
Oh, man.
When that Buckwheat got shot.
Damn, when he got shot, when he was doing the hits.
Oh, Buckwheat sees it.
Mice. Me nominate.
Three times a lady.
Said you twice. Me times a lady. Me nominate.
What?
That boy sang three times
a lady. Love.
I was hollering.
Yeah, he gave us some great laughs.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Yes, Velvet Jones.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Yeah, all of that.
He answered the door. Who is it?
His movies are
the
classic.
Absolute best sketch artist.
Yeah. Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That damn Eddie, Eddie man.
James Brown in that hot tub.
Boy.
Dog.
Man. He stuck his toe in that hot
man.
Tub.
Boy. Come get in the hot tub. Ha. Wait a minute. Hot tub. Boy, that was it, man.
Boy, in the movie Trading Places.
Uh-huh.
Oh, when, man.
What is his name? Valentine.
Oh, Billy Ray Valentine.
Billy Ray Valentine. Boy, when they finally got him off the street and took him to the house.
Yeah.
And they had him in the back, and he was taking a bath, and they was coming out shutting the door, and he was in there singing.
Yeah.
Boy, when I showed that to my daddy hollered, laughed.
Man.
Oh, when you think of love, gotta get it on your mind. Yeah. When you think of, gotta get it on my. Yeah.
Oh man,
I said, boy,
you used to open this show every day with that
with
song.
With that right there,
yeah,
yeah, that's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Good memory. Mm-hmm. Good.
I tell you, man, that.
What's the best? 48 Hours of Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh,
what was 48 Hours about when he was with Nick Nolte?
Oh, yeah, Trading Places.
Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Funniest
classic.
Comedy movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was great. It was.
Because the great.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Steve, you're going to love this. Are you listening, Steve?
Sexual Chocolate.
Are you listening, Randy Sexual Chocolate?
Sexual Chocolate.
That's Randy Wilson. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, Randy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
There's a concert coming to town that I just have to see. He's one of my favorite artists. I already have my tickets front row. I bought the tickets months in advance. I'm so excited. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, guys, time now for Ask the CLO, the Chief Love Officer, the CLO, Steve Harvey in the building. Are you ready, sir?
All day.
This one is from Jacqueline in Memphis. Jacqueline says, I'm 38 years old and I'm married to an older man that loves foreplay and long, drawn out intimacy. After 6 years of that, I would love to have a hot and steamy quickie in the kitchen or wherever we are when the mood hits us. His formal way of lovemaking is boring and I doze off sometimes during sex. Jeez. I want some spontaneity. So I've considered having an affair with my ex just for a little tune-up once a month. Is this a sign that I'm getting bored with my marriage, or is it just the boring sex?
No, it's both. It's boring sex, a sign that you're bored with your marriage, and a sign that you headed to divorce court. It's also a sign that, you know, it's a lot of stuff wrong here, lady. But come on now. Is it a sign that you're bored with your sex life? Yeah. Uh-huh. You went to sleep. I probably ain't been at my best sometimes over the years, 63 years. I'm pretty sure some days I wasn't at my level best. But your ass ain't finna go to sleep, though. That ain't what you're gonna do.
What, just because you yell?
Ain't no way in hell you go, hello? Because oh, hey, I'm hey. Yelling. That's right. Something going to happen. Hey, I'm hollering something. Huh? You're going to bump your head up against that board, something.
You still at it, huh?
No. You're not going to sleep, dog. I don't know what he doing where your ass can go to sleep.
To sleep?
You know.
I mean, to sleep, though?
Wow. But what about having sex with her ex for a little tune-up once a month?
Okay, she already, her mind already gone. Mm. She already, it's over.
Right. Yeah, this is
it's over.
This is dangerous right here.
It's over. It's in her. But what makes you think your ex wants you, though? Might not be what you think. I'm just saying.
We're moving on. Delia in Durham, North Carolina says, I've been in an on-again, off-again type of relationship with my daughter's father for 3 years. He cheated on me after my daughter was born and ended up marrying the lady he cheated with. Whenever he comes to see our child, we have sex and I let his wife know. One day she decided to come over to talk to me and one thing led to another and we had sex.
What? She's friendly?
Now... Yeah, now we enjoy each other's company without our man in the picture, and he is upset about it. I plan to keep seeing her until I find a good man to settle down with. Am I wrong for messing with his wife?
What? Delia?
Baby? Delia?
What's happening?
What's the deal?
Junior, you know, said it. She's friendly.
I mean, you know, when you called... You're in an on-again, off-again relationship, and when you go over your man's house, when your man come over your house to see y'all's baby, y'all have sex, and you call his wife to tell him, well, you told the wrong one this time, because she came over there and said, oh, that's what we doing?
Okay.
Oh, we having sex? Everybody?
We cheating.
Oh, that's what we doing? Well, how about some of this here? And then guess what you say? Wait. Well, how about some of that thing?
Wait, one more time, that whole scenario.
So this is what happened right here. So you call your man come over to the house, your daddy and your child. Yeah. And every time he come over, you and on again, off again, y'all have sex.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you call his wife to tell him that y'all having sex. So then she come over to say, oh, okay. Oh, this is what we doing this here?
Yeah.
Oh, you want some of this here? And then you say, I'll try some of that there. And next thing you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And y'all just all just rat-a-tat-tat.
Come on, Steve.
Now, everybody up in here doing some of this and that.
Down,
now,
Theo.
When your husband find out that y'all doing that, he want to know what happened to this.
Whoa.
But now, ain't nothing happened to this. It's just we over here now, we doing that.
Uh-huh.
Now he mad.
Mm-mm.
But see, he the one over there doing all that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So then, Delia said, well, we going to do all this. Now, Delia do everybody.
Obviously.
I'd be scared to babysit at her house.
All right.
You can get some, too.
Ooh,
you can't
down,
you can't
Delia.
Postmate can't drop nothing off. Oh, you dropping stuff off? I like stuff getting dropped off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you want to do some of this? I'll do some of that. Well, let's go and do this in here.
What about Amazon?
Amazon Prime come up to the door. Oh, you deliver stuff. You want to deliver some of this? I deliver some of that.
Ooh, Delia,
you want some of this? You want some of that? Now, let's go on down here.
All right, quickly, let's get to Calvin in Seattle. He says he's a 47-year-old.
Somebody pull up in the front and had a little girl go up on the porch with some Girl Scout cookies. Who that brought you over this house, little girl? My daddy? Tell your daddy come on over here and sell these cookies to me. You want me to buy some of them cookies? You want to buy some of these cookies?
Woo!
Oh, we selling cookies? I got cookies.
What flavor?
We got all flavors. I try anything.
Exactly. So she wants to know, is she wrong for messing with his wife, Steve? That is her question.
No, you're wrong for everything.
Oh, she's wrong
for everything.
All of the above. Uh-huh.
You're wrong for messing with her husband, which got you introduced to the wife.
That's right.
You're just a little tricky little something, ain't you?
Yeah, she's busy.
All right now.
All right, thank you, CLO.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so here's the question, guys. What marks the beginning of the holiday season for you? Is there a specific song that puts you in the Christmas spirit? How about a special movie? Carla, The Temptations.
That's Christmas Eve only that I watch. Yes.
David Rubin.
In my mind.
Yes. Uh-huh. Also, Imitation of Life, that's another good Christmas movie. So what about you, Steve? I know you like this Christmas. Yeah. That kicks it off for you.
Hang on, mistletoe.
Hey.
I'm going to get to know you better.
Yeah.
This Christmas. That's my song. I hear that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. That's number one. And then The Temptations.
I ain't no Bing Crosby. I'm dreaming of a wife. Now, ain't nobody listening for that.
No.
How about the Christmas song? Nat King Cole.
Oh, that's a good one.
How'd that go?
Chestnuts
roasted. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's my jam, too. I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someday at Christmas, Stevie Wonder.
I love that Christmas.
What is that?
Someday at Christmas. You don't know that one?
It ain't beat your song. You, what you saying?
Like, and I love
hell no, it ain't Donnie.
No, Donnie's number one for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's number like, one. And Donnie, Temptations for Christmas. For me
now,
is number
Stevie,
two.
Stevie's music. Oh, that's my dude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, the albums. Oh, Talking Book. Oh, maybe your baby done made some other plan, keeping me worried.
Hey, is this other me again?
Hey, that's the other me, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's that damn Talking Book when he was sitting on that rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woo, that boy right there. He didn't know they had him on the rock.
Yeah,
he thought he was doing a photo shoot in the backyard and took his ass out in that desert.
Oh, God. He didn't know he was on a rock.
Wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had to say all that. I can't stand him.
I know.
You saw him with his hands. Saw him putting out his hands trying to feel his way around, see where he was. Let me tell people right here. Listen to me. Let me tell y'all something. I've been around Stevie. Stevie ass ain't blind. I don't believe it.
You always say that.
I told Stevie this blind, this a hoax. He done made a lot of money on it. Hey, listen to me. How is Stevie blind?
Uh-huh.
You ain't never seen Stevie with a dog or a cane. He ain't never fail. It just blind ain't up to me. You don't never see him running up into nothing. He ain't got no dog nowhere. He ain't never had to unfold his stick. He get up and just be showing up places. This is a hoax.
Hey, other me. We're moving on.
I know his brother Milton be with him, but
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's Christmas time, right? And a lot of people take great pains to find the perfect gift for someone over the holidays because they want to treat their loved ones to something special. But it turns out that a lot of people aren't necessarily thinking that way. In fact, many are really just looking for ways to outgift the loved ones in their lives. A new survey finds that 61% of Americans see gift giving as a way to outgift their loved ones. 39% of people say the person they are competing with see that person as their sibling, usually.
I did.
Other people, you did it. Other people try to outgift include friends or significant others. I can see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you guys, what is the worst gift you've ever received? And what's the best gift you've ever received, Jay?
Oh,
The worst gift I ever received was my kids, and they got together, all three of them got together and pitched in on this and gave me one pair of lime green socks.
God, man, that's
green,
gotta hurt.
Lime green just started to get a little recognition back in the day. Lime is just starting to come out.
It wasn't worth a damn
back in the 70s and the 80s. Lime walk around like it's bold. I'm like, is that lime? Yeah, all right, lime, I
What about you, Junior?
Oh, my God, the worst gift. You remember back in school when you used to have to trade gifts, you know, buy a gift, bring a gift?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Secret Santa.
I went and got this Michael Knight Rider remote control car. That's the gift I brought.
Wow. Uh-huh. You didn't have a...
When I got my gift, though, back, I just had Play-Doh. I could not understand. What the hell is this? And then the little boy said, it can do a lot of stuff. He twisted it and just made a little man. I kicked that little man over. I don't want no damn Play-Doh. I want my car back is what I want.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What about you, nephew?
Mine is a little similar, Junior, because it was at school. It was in grade school. I think it's about fifth grade. And I pulled this kid's name, and he pulled my name. So, you know, I done all my chores. I done cut some yards. I got him the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. I got him a good toy.
Yeah.
That's a real toy back in the day.
You all didn't have price limits, huh?
Man, let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. He got me a coloring book that his ass had been coloring in.
I whooped his ass
in Miss Johnson's room. You hear me?
Man.
My mama beat the hell out of me that day.
They call that at the Mercedes dealership pre-owned.
Not used. You all through the book? First of all, it's a sorry gift, but you've been coloring in it already?
And he's all outside the lines, too. All outside the lines.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's hilarious.
All right. What's the best gift?
Well, I can tell you the best gift I gave my mom, because I always competed against my sister.
So the survey is correct. It's true.
I remember one year my sister gave my mom, she said, I gave her, I said, so what'd you give mom? She said, and this is the first time I ever heard my sister curse. She said, I gave mom $100. I said, I gave her a floor model color TV. My sister said, who is a Christian and don't cuss much at all? She said, I'll be damned.
She said, what, Jay?
I'll be damned.
And that's a lot for her.
He won.
That's great.
What about you, Shirley?
Let's see. The worst gift I ever got, I don't know. I guess it was a microphone when I was little, you know, not little, but younger. But it didn't work. I didn't get any batteries with it, you know. It was like...
I'll tell you the worst gift I ever
got. Yeah, I mean...
What you got?
A keychain. I'm so bad. An older relative gave me that. I'm going to throw that keychain at her.
And then the worst gift of all was, of course, a set of pots. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Coming up next, it is the nephew with a prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's my strawberry letter for today. The subject, behind the Christmas tree. We'll find out what's going on behind the tree in just a few. But right now, the nephew is here with today's prank phone call. What you got for us, Nev?
The job offer.
That sounds harmless.
It sounds harmless.
Girl.
Yeah, that sounds harmless.
Now, do you want to hit?
Yeah, I think it's harmless. Okay. Yeah.
It sounds harmless, but do you want to hear it?
Of course.
Take a listen. Here it is.
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying to reach a William. William, please.
Yes, this is William.
Hi, William. My name is Daniel. I'm with Employment Agency.
Oh, yes. How's it going?
Okay. I'm pretty good. You actually came in a couple of weeks and filled out some forms.
Yeah. I did.
You're seeking employment, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Well, listen, I got a few things here I'd like to go over. If you have the time, I'd like to get a couple questions from you. I think I actually have something I could send you out on Monday if you actually fit the criteria. Okay?
Oh, okay. Well, hold on 1 second. Let me grab a pen real fast. Hold on. Okay. All right, go ahead. I'm ready.
All right. Are you used to physical labor at all?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so that's not a problem health-wise or physical. You're able to handle that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. About how tall are you, William?
About 5'8".
5'8", okay. And how much do you weigh?
About 150.
150, okay. All right, let's do this. Now, have you done any singing at all?
Not. I can sing a little bit. I'm not a singer, but I could blow a little bit, but not professionally. But
right. But you're pretty good at holding a note, at least, though, right?
Yeah, I can hold a note. Uh huh.
Okay, not bad at all. Are you good working out in the heat? Is that okay?
Yeah. At this point, man, I'm willing to take anything. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay, how long you been out of work?
Man, for about a year and a half now.
Okay, well, man, we're going to try to fix that for you. I know with the way economy is, I know how people can be out of work and not be able to find what they're looking for. But I think we've got something up our alley. Now, let me ask you this question. Are you good working barefooted?
Barefooted?
Yeah, without shoes on at all.
I guess if the job requires it, then, I can do that.
Okay. Now, we're going to start Monday morning right at sunrise. So we're talking about 5:30, 6 o'clock here. We're going to need you to report to the field to actually get ready, okay?
What kind of job is this?
What you're going to be doing, William, is you're going to be doing is actually picking cotton. And we want you to do it barefooted, and we'd like for you to actually sing while you're doing it.
Man, you got to be kidding me, man. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. The job pays $10 an hour. You know, we're going to get you some good hours out there. I know
Wait a minute, man. With all due respect, man, you're talking about picking cotton and bare feet and $10 an hour, man.
Don't forget, I do need you singing. It's going to be do you know any Negro spirituals?
No, I don't. And I don't think, who is this again?
Like I said, I'm Daniel. I'm one of the employees here. I work at employment agency. You know, I pulled up your file and saw how long you've been out of work. And, I've got something that I think you'll be perfect for.
Okay, but what is this job really about? You're talking about picking cotton.
Well, basically it's kind of like you're getting paid, the $10 an hour. You're probably going to get about 10 hours in a day. So you're going to make $100 a day. It's kind of like slavery, but it's not.
Hold up, brother. Hold up. man, I didn't sign on for nothing like this, man. I'm thinking you guys are supposed to be helping me with a up-to-date job. Slavery don't even exist no more, man.
It does not exist. We are going to pay you. You understand? But we do want you barefooted.
Man, you are telling me I gotta sing and walk barefooted, picking cotton, singing some slavery songs. Bro, I don't do no like that, man. I'm voting, man. That slavery is over with, man. What the hell are you talking about?
What did you say?
Man, I'm thinking that you guys are going to be finding me a job. Regardless of how you like it,
it's a job. Now, I need you to report 5 o'clock Monday morning out in the field with no shoes and ready to sing your song and pick
up. Man, I am not reporting no damn where at 5 o'clock in the morning at no damn field, brother. I don't know why you even calling me with this. Matter of fact, you know what? Go ahead and send my off because I'll go over there and talk to these people in the beginning because y'all need to be reported.
Like I said, 5 o'clock in the morning report. You don't have, if you can wear your shoes.
Man,
Buck, listen to me.
First of all, my name ain't Buck. And matter of fact, what's your name? Because you know what? I will be at this tomorrow just to meet your because this don't make no sense, man. You calling my phone talking about some slavery work, man. You must be out of your mind talking this
Are you looking for work or are you not looking for work?
No, I'm not looking for that kind of work, dude. I mean, you calling my phone telling me about some slave work?
It's work, though.
You
it's
must
work.
Be out of
your get paid.
Mind.
You're...
Matter of fact, what is your name? What is your
I'm
name?
Daniel.
You can kiss my okay?
Listen,
kiss my
I don't want to go back and forth.
I'm not
with
doing
you.
No type of like that. Matter
I
of
need
fact,
you out
y'all
there,
agency
Bob
can
Clark.
Lose all my information.
You're going to get your black I mean, hang on. You're going to get your butt out there, and you're going to do what you
Did
need
Did you just
to
say
do.
Get my black Well, you know what? I will be there. Put my down.
Can I say one more thing, please?
What the else you got to say, man? You didn't say it a mouthful already.
I got to say this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife, Katrina, got me to prank phone call you.
What? The who?
William, this is Nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning
Ain't
Show.
This Man, I can't believe she did some like that, man. And she know I'm looking for a job, man. I bet you won't be saying that when the bills come in next month. Hey, man, I'm 5'8", 150 pounds, but when I'm ready to get in your I will get all up in your I mean, and she know that. She know that. I mean, ooh, I'm going to get her. Oh, man.
I got one more thing I got to ask you, man. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Oh, man, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Really? How you said. Bunk.
We all sat straight up.
I said, oh, hell no, I'm going to kill this dude right here. I was thinking about killing you, Tommy.
Bunk. Hey,
boy, you call me Bunk, man. I ass gonna be thumping.
But you know what kind of woman pranks a man who's out of work? I mean,
yes.
Come on, man.
That's so heartless, isn't it?
It's so heartless.
I'm 5'8", 150, but I would get in your behind if I got to.
So when you say, can you come barefoot?
Oh, man. Hey,
you can sing? You sing?
Yeah, can you sing? That's
sing
it right there.
Do you know some spirituals?
Spiritual.
I blow a little bit. I ain't really no professional. But.
And it just goes to show how bad he really need a job because everything you set up, you're like,
I sang a little bit, you know. I'm trying to figure out what kind of song. Am I going to be doing delivering telegrams? What is I'm going to be saying?
Just saying it, I'm doing. Barefoot.
Well, the job called for. I'm going to be smashing grapes. I know this brother here was
working. On
we making wine.
We on a trampoline. Really? What is we doing?
Really, Tom.
Buck. Okay. You trying to get your ass.
No, you said get your black. Make sure you have your black.
Oh, yeah. I think,
that was another one, Jay.
Yeah, Jay.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was great, man.
I love my people. I love them to death, boy. They are the truth. Truly the truth.
I know some people, dog. Had you had put that phone call in, you probably couldn't have had enough bleeps.
Coming up next is my strawberry letter subject. Behind the Christmas tree. We'll get into it right after this. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey everybody, this is Junior, and I have a long-standing relationship with the American Red Cross to get the word out about blood donation within the African-American community, letting people know how important community donations are to our well-being. 1 in 3 African-American blood donors are a match for patients with sickle cell disease. As someone who suffers from sickle cell, I know that finding blood is a matter of life and death. Blood donations save lives, and I'm living proof. But there's a great need for donations regardless of your blood type. Every day, the blood our people donate saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell disease. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Well, now it's time for today's strawberry letter. And listen, if you need advice on relationships, dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your strawberry letter on steveharveyfm.com. That's where you do it. And all you have to do is just click submit strawberry letter. We could be reading your letter live on the air, just like we're going to read this one right here, right now. And you never know, it could be yours.
You never know. Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
Thank you, nephew. Subject: behind the Christmas tree. Dear Stephen Shirley, I've been married for 14 years, and I have a busy schedule as a high school basketball coach. After years of marriage, my wife still doesn't get how stressed I am around this time of year, and she'd been pressuring me to buy a Christmas tree and have it up by December 1st. I missed her deadline because of my schedule. This past Saturday, I left for practice, and she said she picked out a tree online, and it was going to be delivered later that day. I knew it didn't sound right, but I didn't really care at that point. Around noon, one of my players got sick, so I canceled the practice. I intended to go home and help out with the Christmas tree. I drove up, and my daughter was outside shooting hoops with her friends. She said her mom and Mr. Tim were inside putting up the tree. The only Tim I know is my wife's ex-boyfriend that drives a truck like the one in front of my house. I walked in, and my wife was disheveled and acting jumpy. I hugged her, and I could smell cologne all over her neck. I pulled her with me as we went to look at the tree, and I asked where Tim was. She said Tim was behind the tree, securing it to the base. I walked over to Tim, I tapped his foot, and I told him to come out and leave my house. Tim said he was just helping out since I was too busy to do what needed to be done. I was ready to fight, but my wife grabbed me as Tim walked out. She said it's my fault and I shouldn't be upset. I told her she's foul for having her ex in our house. She doesn't see the situation from my point of view, so I'd love to invite my ex-girlfriend over and ask her to bring me one of her amazing chocolate cakes. I wonder if my wife will get it then. I'm very vindictive. Should I do it or not? Whoa. Well, while, you know, we all know that two wrongs don't make a right. We know that. Ooh. But this does sound like a case of I can show you better than I can tell you. And since your wife seems to have no remorse about anything that happened, having this other man over there and all that, you know, I wouldn't be mad if you did invite your ex and her amazing chocolate cake, although I'm sure she wouldn't get past the front door. But, you know, wifey was just way out of line here. And her ex, Tim, was oh so disrespectful when he said he was just helping out because you were too busy to do what needed to be done. How could he fix his mouth to even say that in your house? So, you know, let's see how your wife would like it if the situation were reversed. And we all know she wouldn't. She wouldn't like it one bit. But we don't like her attitude. We don't like the fact that, you know, she thinks this is okay. She's disloyal. She's unsupportive of you and what you have to do as far as your coaching job and all of that. And bringing her ex in to try to take your place in your house is just, these things are unthinkable for a wife to do to her husband. So, yeah, in this case, I wouldn't be mad. You said, should you do it or not? I wouldn't be mad if you invited her and got some cake and all of that. See how your wife liked it. Steve?
This letter's stupid, crazy.
Real stupid.
Damn.
Real.
Childish.
Been married 14 years. You a high school basketball coach. This is why I lost it in the letter. After years of marriage, my wife still doesn't know how stressed I am around this time of year. And she's been pressuring me to buy a Christmas tree and have it up by December 1st. Now, I'm going to assume that you mean you're under pressure this time of the year because of your basketball schedule and maybe playoffs or something like that. Maybe that's what you're talking about. Because at first I thought about you were stressed out about buying Christmas trees and gifts. I was a little confused about that. But either way, it don't cause for that much pressure. I mean, if you a basketball coach, I understand it's a little tight for you this year. I do understand that, bro, so I ain't knocking that right there. But she wanted Christmas tree, have it up by December 1st. The mandate in our house is the day after Thanksgiving, the Christmas decorations begin. That's a mandate at our house. Don't let December get here and I don't have my tree. Gonna be a problem at the house, okay? All right, just want to throw that in right here. This past Saturday, you went to practice. She said she picked up a tree and had it online, was going to be delivered later that day. I knew it didn't sound right. I don't know why it didn't, but you said it didn't sound right, but I really didn't care at this point. So at noon, one of your players got sick, so you canceled the practice. I intended to go home and help out with the Christmas tree. I drove up, and my daughter was outside shooting hoops with her friends. She said her mom and Mr. Tim was inside putting up the tree. What? Now, right here, let me show you where this letter has to turn for me. The only Tim I know is my wife's ex-boyfriend that drives a truck like the one in front of my house. Now, right there, I'm no longer walking into the house. I'm rolling up into the house at top speed. Right. I ain't open the door. I'm kicking the door in. That's where we at right now. I walk in and my wife was disheveled and acting jumpy. I hugged her and I could smell cologne all over her neck. Let me stop this letter right here. Because what's happening at this point in the letter, there's no more typing at this point.
You're done with all of that.
We're now in the process of a crime being committed. When we come back, I'll share with you the crime and the amount of time that I'm receiving in front of the judge. Thank you.
All right. You heard it from Steve's own mouth. We'll have part two of his response coming up at 23 minutes after the hour. Today's Strawberry Letter subject, behind the Christmas tree. We'll get back into it right after this. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. All right, come on, Steve. Let's recap today's Strawberry Letter subject, behind the Christmas tree. Let's go.
This man, a basketball coach, 14 years, been married 14 years. He disheveled this. I mean, he's a little under pressure this year because of the playoffs in basketball. And his wife wants to have a Christmas tree up by December 1st. He's under too much pressure to worry about a tree. But so she orders one online, said it'll be here by noon and delivered. He said, okay, he going to go to practice, find out one of the players is sick. So he cancels practice. Obviously, this is a star player. There ain't no need of running this offense because you got the whole offense running through this boy because you got Michael Jordan on your team. You don't give a damn about these other four kids. If he's sick, you ain't got a chance winning this damn game. No way. So let's just cancel practice. So you going home and decide that you're going to help put up the Christmas tree. You pull up and your daughter outside shooting hoop with a girlfriend and say, where your mom at? Your mom in the house with Mr. Tim putting up the tree. Then you say the only Tim you know is your wife's ex-boyfriend who drives a truck just like the one in front of your house. Something's about to happen. I'm not walking in the house. I'm running. I'm not open doors. I'm kicking them in. But he strolls on up in there. I walked in and my wife was disheveled and acting jumpy. So I hugged her and I could smell cologne all over her neck. I pulled her with me as we went to look at the tree and I asked her where Tim was. She said Tim was behind the tree. Now, let me tell you something. This is the exact place that the police would have found Tim.
Yeah.
If we was at my house.
Behind the tree.
Behind the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Because that's where I done busted Tim's head open.
Yeah.
And Tim would have been behind that same damn tree. So she said he was behind the tree securing it to the base. Mm-hmm. I walked over to Tim and tapped his foot. See that right there? That's not happening. I'd have stomped his foot, broke his ankle, so when we start fighting, he'll be on one leg.
Yes.
That's how I'd have started.
Get the advantage.
Because we gonna fight, huh?
You want to get a little advantage.
Yeah, so I tapped his foot, told him to come out and leave my house. Tim said, this is what Tim said, he was just helping out since I was too busy to do what needed to be done. Now, how does Tim know this?
Yeah, about my house. Mm-hmm.
Because she's been sharing y'all's marital business with Tim. Mm-hmm. How does Tim feel comfortable enough to come over your house to put up a tree? Why is Tim talking back to me
after I done just tapped him on his foot. Then you said, I was ready to fight, but my wife grabbed me as Tim walked out. Another question. How is Tim walking out of this house? Now, Tim is going to leave this house, but walking will not be how he leaves. I have some options, and it's only two. You'll be leaving this house on the gurney, or you'll be leaving this house in the body bag. But either way, you can't walk on a gurney, and you can't walk once they zip up the body bag. That's how Tim lived in my house. So I don't know how Tim, punk ass, then walked out the house. And my wife ain't strong enough to grab me and keep me. Marjorie can't keep me from kicking a man's ass if that's what I'm finna do. My wife not that strong. My wife has seen me mad one time since we've been married. I mean, really, really mad. She said, "Steve, I don't know what happened. You swole up. You swole up. I had to get all the workers out this house. Okay, cool. But now you understand what I'm capable of. So now, why Tim is walking out of this house or not?" And she said, "It's your fault, and you shouldn't be upset." I told her she's filed for having her ex in our house. I don't even know how y'all having this conversation. She doesn't see the situation from my point of view. I'd have gave her another view of Tim. Anyway, you'd have found out that Tim can't fight. You'd have found out Tim ain't all that. You'd have found out Tim, little punk. You'd have found out a lot of stuff about Tim that day. So you'd hang your hat on your little ex. You'd have found out why he your ex. See, that day. So she doesn't see the situation at this point of view. So I'd love to invite my ex-girlfriend over and ask her to bring one of her amazing chocolate cakes. I wonder if my wife would get it then. I'm very vindictive. Should I do it? Now, women ain't as stupid as men, dog. So I'm pretty sure this woman going to have a lot of questions when you ask her to bring one of these delicious chocolate cakes over your house. Why don't your funky-ass wife make you a chocolate cake? Since that's who you married and you didn't marry me. So I wouldn't call your ex-girlfriend talking about no damn cake, because you finna get way more than cake. Now, do I think you ought to invite this girl over? No. But I do think you need to rerun this letter and start this letter back over to where you tapped him on his foot and he came from behind that tree. And this whole letter need to be written. That chalk mark is behind the tree. Yellow tape is around the tree. And the coroner's office and some detectives is outside. I'm downtown behind a 4-inch piece of glass telling y'all this strawberry letter because I don't have a computer in prison. Thank you.
All right, Steve, thank you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, it is time to look into the crazy mind of J. Anthony Brown. Oh, Lord.
Well, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you're doing that.
You are?
I know a lot of time I have foolishness and craziness.
A lot of time, huh?
What you got today? Knowledge, wisdom, what's in there today?
Something I have that's very, I put together a little company. It's called Side Piece Helper. Now, you won't, for a side piece, you won't be able to get in touch with who you want to get in touch with on the holidays. It's starting. It's going to be tough for you. But with Side Piece Helper, you can call and get out all your frustration. They're not going to judge you. That's because you call a friend, they're going to judge you. Well, I told you, we're not doing that at Side Piece Helper. Side Piece Helper is helping side pieces get through the holidays. They're listening. They're quiet. They got good advice. Tommy knows about it. I mean, we talked about putting them together. So, Tommy, what you got now?
Well, I mean, you know, they help us, and we are helpers. You know what I mean? Right. And we're going to try to do what we can to get the message to your loved one.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So what you have to do is, if you watch the movie Harriet, go in your backyard and start singing. And then the people next will start singing. And sooner or later, the message will get way down the way to the person that you wanted to get away to. You understand?
Get a message to the one you love. Let them know. Because I know these are terrible
times. I
hate them. Side
with everything in us.
I know.
This is brilliant.
You know, you guys, one thing about this show, we're always helping people.
That's right.
That's right. That's what this is about. It's
brief. Give us
don't
credit.
Leave nobody that. Out now.
Yeah, we kept it. We helped get them to the polls, and now this. Yeah, wow.
We helped.
Wow.
This is ball up in a knot time. This is time you ball up in a knot. And you just
didn't tell him, Jay, about the Side Piece Helper mobile app. You didn't tell him.
Yes. Go to the
what?
App.
Yeah, it's a mobile app. Yeah. Like if you need like a side piece on Christmas, you can't get it to it. We'll take a plate to her from your house. And we take the plate to her. And we put the, her gift. We transport that. You know, whatever it is. And if she has something to send back, we drop back.
You know what we got? You know what else we got? Mm-hmm. We got Side Piece Hamburger Helper. See, that's the dinner for them. You see, that's the dinner for them to have. Yes. You know, because they can't have what everybody else got. You see what I'm saying?
Now you're thinking, huh?
Download the app and get out of that balled up
knot. Don't thugs in harmony.
Yeah. You told her how good your wife cooking is. Well, now she can taste it. That's it.
Right. I hate
Side
all
Piece
of
Helper.
You.
Download the app.
All right. Coming up, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey everybody, this is Junior, and I have a long-standing relationship with the American Red Cross to get the word out about blood donation within the African-American community, letting people know how important community donations are to our well-being. 1 in 3 African-American blood donors are a match for patients with sickle cell disease. As someone who suffers from sickle cell, I know that finding blood is a matter of life and death. Blood donations save lives, and I'm living proof. But there's a great need for donations regardless of your blood type. Every day, the blood our people donate saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell disease. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Time now for Comedy Roulette. Steve, you want to explain it?
No, it's just us. They're going to just spin the wheel, come up with a subject, and we're going to write jokes on it.
Right, here we go. Here are the subjects. Crazy names for a horse as they win the race. And the winner is... ... Mm-hmm. Ways people spoil a movie for someone who hasn't seen it. And the last one, commandments that should have been in the Bible. Here we go, spin the wheel. Oh, interesting. It stopped on commandments that should have been in the Bible.
What? Okay.
We're going to rewrite the Bible.
The Lord has a sense of humor. Thank God.
Yeah, sense of humor.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, this is something I would like the Lord have put in there. Move somewhere warm if you got sickle cell. That would have been a nice one having it for me.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible. Let's go, nephew.
Thou shalt not steal unless you going through something. Unless you going through something. I'm sorry.
Not a pass.
What?
Not a pass. Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Steve.
Thou shalt honor thy husband.
There we go. I like that.
Look at them. Yeah. Look at them. Look, turning their head down. Look
I see them. I see them.
The ones that's married. Evil ass.
Whatever.
About honoring you, but they ain't even honor them husband. I wish I would.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible. Come on, Junior.
Thou shalt know when she mad.
Why are you talking like that?
Oh, you will. Don't worry.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, nephew.
Thou shalt not go through my phone. Ever.
Why?
Yeah, because they had phones back then, right? Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Steve.
Child support should be cut in half.
No, it is.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Junior.
She should pay for at least one meal a year.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Tommy.
Thou shalt not talk when the game is on. Okay?
That's a big one.
Thank you.
The entire
Commandments
game?
That should have been in the Bible.
Day.
Steve Harvey.
Thy children should repay you all money spent.
Not mad at that one.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Junior.
Thou shalt always want to have sex with me.
Yeah. Come on, boy. Yeah.
Always.
Always. Why is these no's in here?
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Tommy.
Thou shalt not commit adultery unless it's been committed on you first. Hello.
You're going to hell.
Once you do it, I get to do it. Once you do it,
rewrite an actual commandment.
Right. You're supposed to stay away from that.
You're supposed to be jokes.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Steve.
There shall be no alimony.
All yours are marriage related.
All of them.
Commandments that should have been in the Bible, Junior.
Thou shalt not make me like all your family.
You have to like everybody. Right. Everybody.
Come on, Steve, close it out. Commandments that should have.
Do something naked, Steve.
No, this goes to my entire family. Thou shalt keep if thy hands off my wallet.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Comedy Roulette.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
A Florida woman was arrested after she and her date broke a sink off the wall while fooling around in the ladies' bathroom of an Irish pub. Her date went into the ladies' room after knocking back a few drinks, and they had sex. When they finished, they returned to their seats at the bar, and an employee went into the bathroom a few minutes later and noticed major damage to the sink. Trammell tried to play it cool and act like nothing happened, but the pub manager called the cops. Trammell had to confess to getting busy in the bathroom, and she was taken to jail. However, her accomplice was not arrested. Yeah. Why? Because they were in the ladies' room.
Well, listen, the best sex is at restaurants. They got the best. They got the best bathroom. They really do.
What? Where?
Public bathroom.
What?
Where?
You? Well, you? So you've got
y'all
busy
ain't been
in
them. A... Y'all ain't been in them. Them unisex bathrooms. Y'all ain't been in there.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. I'm the only one that did it in there.
Or you could be the only one living in a house you're not comfortable with.
But you got to do it in the bathroom with dinner.
Well, hell, we got to go all the way down to the damn restaurant. We got to go to Applebee's before we can have sex.
Not Applebee's.
We do it at Applebee's.
Now, that's a different kind of bathroom. You need to go like a Mastro. That's a bathroom right there. You got a man working in the bathroom and everything. He give you towels and soap.
you ready, huh? Ready to go.
All right, okay, we're moving on.
We'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, so here's the question, guys. What marks the beginning of the holiday season for you? Is there a specific song that puts you in the Christmas spirit? How about a special movie? Carla, mm-hmm. The Temptations.
That's Christmas Eve only that I watch. Yes.
David
in my mind. Third.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Also, Imitation of Life, that's another good Christmas movie. So what about you, Steve? I know you like this Christmas. Yeah. That kicks it off for you.
Hang on, mistletoe.
Hey.
I'm going to get to know you better.
Yeah.
This Christmas. That's my song. I hear that. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's number it. One. And then The Temptations.
I ain't no Bing Crosby. I'm
Bing
Dreaming
of a Bing Crosby.
Now, ain't nobody listening for that.
No, no. It's
how about the Christmas
Donna
song? Like Nat King Cole.
Oh, that's a good one.
How that go?
Chestnuts roasting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's my jam, too.
Uh-huh.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday at Christmas, Stevie Wonder.
I love that Christmas.
What is that?
You know, Someday at Christmas. You don't know that one?
It ain't beat your song. What you saying?
Hell no, it ain't Donnie.
No, Donnie's number one for
And Donnie for Christmas. For me
now,
is
Stevie,
number two.
Stevie's music. Oh, that's my dude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, the albums. Oh, Talking Book. Oh, maybe your baby done made some other plan. Keeping me worried.
Hey, where is this other me again?
Hey, that's the other me, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's that damn Talking Book when he was sitting on that rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woo, that boy right there. He didn't know they had him on the rock.
He didn't even say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought he was doing a photo shoot in the backyard and took his ass out in that desert.
He didn't know he was on a rock.
You saw him with his hands. Saw him putting out his hands, trying to feel his way around, see where he was. I tell you right here. Listen to me. Let me tell y'all something. I've been around Stevie. Stevie ass ain't blind. I don't believe it.
You always say that.
I told Stevie this blind. This a hoax. He'd have made a lot of money on it. Hey, listen to me. How is Stevie blind?
Uh-huh.
You ain't never seen Stevie with a dog or a cane. He ain't never fell. It just blind. It ain't running up to me. Yeah. You ain't never seen him running up into nothing. He ain't got no dog nowhere. He ain't never had to unfold his stick. Get up and just be showing up places.
He's by himself. Okay, other me. We're moving on.
I know his brother Milton be with him, but...
All right, coming up, it's Steve Harvey and his closing remarks. You don't want to miss it at 49 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime. Day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Last break of the day. Been a pretty good day. Interesting day. And Steve, your closing remarks are back. We love them. What do you have for us today, Steve?
All right. Here it is for today. This is a really uplifting one. I just want to talk to you for a minute about dreams, because everybody has them. But dreams are so, so important, man, because there's a scripture that says something to the effect that a man without a dream or a vision shall perish. A man without a dream or a vision shall perish. So, I mean, just everybody has to dream and everybody has to envision something. It is the thing that pushes us forward. It's one of the most important motivating factors in your life today. The hope that things will change for you from what they are now. That's what it is. You dream of one day owning a business. You dream of one day of climbing the corporate ladder. You dream of one day becoming an attorney. You dream of one day of being a supervisor. You dream of one day driving a certain car. You dream of one day owning the house of your dreams. You dream about traveling around the world. You dream about the man or the woman of your dreams. You dream about the family you've always wanted. You dream about being happy. You dream about being successful. You envision yourself with a lifestyle that you've always wondered about and seen other people living. You envision yourself somewhere else other than where you are. Everybody feels those things, man. But let me explain something to you. As motivating as that is, as motivating as dreams and visions are, dreams don't work unless you do. Get me now. Dreams don't work unless you do. I was reading a book by Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan's got a book out called Wake Up Happy. And one of the subtitles on one of his chapters is that too. That dreams don't work unless you do. I am telling you, man, that that is such a true statement. Nothing comes to a dreamer but a dream unless you work. Dreams don't work unless you do. Nothing comes to a dreamer but a dream unless you work, man. You've got to put forth a serious effort to make your dreams come true or the things you envision come to fruition. You've got to put forth a massive all-out assault on it. And why not? What else you got to do? I would rather be working on my dreams and visions than to be sitting there watching my life go by day after day after day after day and doing nothing about it. Even an inmate that's incarcerated can get in a program to take his mind outside the walls to further better himself. So in the event that he does get out, he at least comes out with something that they can't take from him, which is knowledge. How is it that those of us that are free don't have enough sense to try to do something to better ourselves, our position, or our plight in life? Oh, man, you've got to be kidding me. All you got to do is dream, but dreams don't work unless you do. Now, look, it's not easy to make your dreams come true. It's really not. I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you what's that's not easy to do. But I'll tell you what's harder than do that. Be nothing. Because I have been both. I have worked so hard to make my dreams come true, and I've sat around being nothing. And I got news for you. Sitting around being nothing is hard, man. It's so restrictive. Even if you think of something, you can't do that. You can't go to the store and get an ice cream because you done sat around and decided to be nothing. And how do you become nothing? By doing nothing. It's hard being nothing, man. Now, let me tell you something. On your way to your dreams, you're going to hurt. You're going to hurt along the way. You're going to have some regrets. Man, I should have stayed on my job. I sat up here and jumped trying to start this business. I had a job that kept a steady income coming in. You may have some regrets one day. You may even consider quitting one day, but don't you do it. Because the moment you stop working on your dreams stop becoming true. Dreams don't work unless you do. If you worked as hard on your dreams as you do on your job, do you imagine what you'd have? Can you possibly imagine what you'd be? That's what I always used to say to myself. Why am I working this hard for somebody else when I can work this hard for me? Now, I'm not knocking a job. That's not what I'm saying. Because sometimes you got your dream job. Sometimes you got the job of your dreams. I applaud you. I'm just talking about your dreams, though. If you dream of something other and more than that, when you gonna go? Now, if you got your dream job, clap, clap. And there are millions of people who are working their dream job. Or they're working a job that can get them to their dream. So this is not an anti-working statement. This is just about what it takes to make your dreams come true. A man without a dream or a vision shall perish. I have one simple philosophy in my life. Steve, why you work so hard? Why you got so many shows? Why you always doing this? My philosophy is very simple. I spend all my time building my dreams. So when I get some time, I can live my dreams. I've always dreamed of traveling around the world, going to places. I've always dreamed of being relevant to somebody. I've always dreamed of being important to my children. That's why I work so hard. Those are my dreams and visions. What are yours? Dust them off. And remember, dreams don't work unless you do. You dig? That's my closing remarks for today. Ladies and gentlemen, talk to God today. He'd love to hear from you. Y'all stay in peace.
For all students.
Steve Harvey contest. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.